everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Today, I'm bringing Coach Morgan Bungers back on the show, and I'll tell you how this developed, how I came to sending him a text and saying, hey, I think we need to record together. Let me tell you why. I was having a conversation with my mom. My mom is in her early 70s. She has recently come to the understanding of how important it is to build strength. And so it's something that she's working on, I'm working on, my sister's working on, and we talk about it regularly. And my mom bought an online program, a really, really popular online program for fitness, strength. And she said, I was really excited about it, but the problem is there's no modifications. So if I don't have the equipment for something, I'm not sure what to do. Or if I don't have the level of fitness to do something the way they demonstrate it, I don't know what to do. Or if something is painful for me or uncomfortable or just, you know, maybe I have a bad knee, or in my mom's case, she has osteoporosis. So there's certain things she's not supposed to do, and there's not modifications. So it's something she can't do. She's not sure what to swap it with. And so she's having the experience, which I've had before when I've bought online programs, where it's very discouraging because you go into it with high hopes, you go into it with great intentions, and then you kind of can't execute and you're not sure what to do because modification and personalization isn't part of what you purchased. The other thing that prompted me to reach out to Morgan, I get the question a lot about how do I choose a good trainer? How do I know if my trainer is a good trainer? What should I be looking for in a personal trainer? And I was texting with one of my girlfriends and she was sharing with me a horrifying thing that her trainer recommended to her, and just super not okay to say to somebody, especially somebody who's paying you. And I've had those kinds of experiences with trainers more than I would like to admit. So I said to Morgan, I know this time of year, a lot of people are giving a lot of thought to it. So let's just put a resource out there in the form of this episode. Tell us what we should look for in a trainer. What are some red flags? And one of the things that comes up kind of organically in this conversation, I'm going to share with you what it was, what quality, what one specific quality more than any others Morgan had that made me want to keep going back. Because that's a big part of the equation too. So we've got a lot to talk about. I think this is really valuable stuff, whether you currently have a trainer, whether you're thinking about getting one, or maybe you're thinking about an online program. So Coach Morgan Bungers is back. This is his third or fourth time on the show, and hopefully it will not be his last, but let's get right into the episode. Oh, before we do, there was some like weird, funky audio stuff going on in this episode. So while I typically don't edit, I had to edit around some audio issues several times. So if there's some spaces where like I was loud and now I'm not as loud, or that's the case with Morgan, I appreciate your patience. I was working with a new computer, plus we were recording from different locations, so sometimes that happens, but I appreciate your patience. I think it is absolutely still worth the listen, and there's a lot of really great takeaways, and I was really pumped about the conversation when I kind of had this aha moment about what it was in Morgan that made it easy for me to keep coming back and working out no matter what was going on in my life or with my fitness or with my health or anything like that. So, all right, let's get into the episode with Coach Morgan Bungers. Morgan, welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am so glad that you are here because we have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. I'm so happy to be here.
So this is the time of year where I think a lot of folks are mentally preparing for the fresh start that often accompanies the new year. And maybe they've pulled out their winter clothes and they don't fit as well, or maybe they've seen themselves in holiday photos and they don't love what they're seeing, and they're getting to this place. I feel like there's this anticipation of a clearing once the holidays are over and people feel like they have more time to work with, they have more motivation to work with, and maybe just their schedule is sort of opening up. And I texted you most specifically after talking to my mom and a good friend of mine. And I said, I need to have you on here to talk about what we want to look for in a trainer, because there's a ton of sort of online personal trainers where you can buy their programming. And a lot of those are really super affordable. And then there's the paying a premium to train in person with somebody. But a lot of folks come to me and say, how do I find a good trainer? And I have had some excellent trainers like you, and I've had some really, really questionable trainers that I think, as is the way of the world right now, I think there are a lot of people out there training who really aren't qualified to be training. Do you think that I'm being too hard on people, or is that sense too?
Absolutely. There's a low barrier to entry, and it's a fun field to be in. So absolutely, there are some people who are probably giving advice and leading who shouldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah. I texted you because my mom, who is in her early 70s, had purchased this very famous programming where you pay a small amount of money per month and you get an app where there are these workouts. And after a few days, she came to me and she was like, but the problem is there's no modifications. Like, if I can't physically do something, it doesn't tell me what I should do instead. Or if I can't move my body in that way, or that doesn't feel good, or it hurts, or, you know, it just like doesn't work for me, I don't have that equipment, there's nobody that I can say, hey, how do I do this? And that makes me nervous, because I'm sitting here saying to people, and you and I have said this together, you need to build strength and you need to make that a priority for the sake of your longevity, for the sake of your energy, for the sake of your metabolism, for your immunity, all of these things. And I know that some people are going to go buy something for, you know, maybe $10 a month or maybe $50 or $60 a month. And there's not going to be any coaching with that.
Yeah.
What is your take on some of those lower cost of entry online programs that don't teach people how to move? Are those good for anybody? Are they just not good across the board? Like, what would you say to somebody who's listening right now, who understands that they need to do something and is feeling motivated to do something? Before we even talk about the in-person trainers that might not be amazing, what are your thoughts on some of these programs where you basically get like an app that tells you what to do?
Yes, I think they are the best intentions of the people buying them, mm-hmm. and slightly misguided actions.
Okay.
And your mom's experience kind of hit the nail on the head, where it's kind of a one size fits all, not personalized. And maybe there are some that certainly are. I'm sure there are ones that probably cost more that do have more options, but you are still running the risk of being on your own, trying to figure out kind of up the river without a paddle what to do when you need to modify.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking too of my mother-in-law. I love her. She's amazing. She has these workout DVDs that she loves, for anybody that still has a DVD player. Like, that's, you know, that's a real thing.
That's awesome.
But I feel like those things are almost best for people who have a lot of experience in a gym setting and already know how to move well. But if you're somebody who isn't sure that you have good squat form, or that you have, you know, good pressing form, or you're working through like different physical limitations, that maybe those aren't the best things. What do you agree? Do you disagree? Am I off the mark?
No, you nailed it. And that's exactly, if you know what you're doing, the benefit of those apps or those videos, those DVDs, is you get to outsource thinking about it, right? You're not in charge of what's the workout, what's the warm-up, how long am I going to hold this stretch for? You get to kind of go into autopilot and still get a great workout in, because you know what you're doing already. And you're not seeking out form guidance. You've just kind of outsourced the logistics of the workout. And you nailed it. It's people who have experience who will benefit most from a setup like that.
And I think what often happens is that then we get really discouraged, because we buy this thing and we were prepared to do it, but we don't have the equipment for that move and we can't do that position or that activity, like where our fitness isn't there yet, or we have some sort of like ache or pain or injury and we can't do that. And then we just scrap it all together because we don't know what to do if we can't do it. And I hate to see, it's almost like that good intention you have now goes to waste because, in fact, I think, was it you that posted something that said, progress requires commitment and also guidance?
Yes.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, this is so true of fitness because these people who go into these programs, the commitment piece is there, but what's lacking is the guidance piece. In a lot of cases, certainly not in all cases, but when the guidance piece is missing, it's almost like you're much faster to fizzle out because you don't have the support that you need to build confidence.
Exactly. You're on a tightrope without the safety net, and that totally draws on your confidence and makes it a much harder task than it needs to be.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I want people to kind of think about. And that's also why, to be very fair, when you and I first started talking about doing something with Strong Foundations and helping people build strength, initially, my idea was, hey, let's just capitalize on your expertise and just put an ebook together to answer people's most common questions. But then we very quickly, through chatting back and forth, we're like, but there's a lot of people that don't know how to move well, and we need to make sure that people know how to move well. And so we really have just emphasized that movement tutorial and also accessibility for coaching piece of it, because we want to provide both the commitment to the client, but also, more importantly, the guidance.
Yeah. And the cool thing about the guidance is not only are we teaching and helping you figure out how to do the movements, scaling is a skill that you can get better at. And we're teaching you how to do that. So if there's movements that we haven't covered with you, but you find yourself having to figure out what works best for you by learning the skill of scaling and adjusting the workouts and the movements that work best for you, you are now so much better off and so much more confident in what you can handle, what you can get and figure out on the fly, essentially.
Tell me more about what you mean when you say the skill of scaling, because I have worked with great trainers like you for long enough that I know what you mean, but I think somebody starting out or somebody like my mom might not know what that means, the skill of scaling.
Yes, absolutely. That is a bunch of jargon. Every workout, at least with a good trainer, a good workout program, the workout is a suggestion. It's a starting point where the coach is trying to communicate what we're trying to achieve today. We're trying to do some squats and some cardio, and we're trying to feel a certain way, get tired to a certain point, build some muscle a certain way. But that's the start of the conversation. That workout can then be adjusted to better fit your needs, how you're feeling today, what your goals are in the long run, what your injuries are at the moment, how sore you're feeling, what you did yesterday, what you plan on doing tomorrow. Every workout can be customized, and that's probably a better word. Scaling just means customizing the workout to better suit you. And just an example, in our Jim Bunger's classes where we have 20 people in class, there's generally about 20 different versions of the workout going on because everyone is taking advantage of customizing to their needs, to their equipment, to their goals, to their movements they're trying to avoid. Scaling is customizing. And once you learn how to scale, you don't need to know, oh, if it's squats, I do this. You can make that call based on how you're feeling that day in the moment.
Right. Like when we think about people coming into Strong Foundations, we not only want them to know, okay, if you can't squat, do this. We want them to understand why that's the kind of substitution we're looking at in this workout. So for example, if I was doing a workout with you when we were at CFNE, if I couldn't run because maybe my knee was flaring up, I understand that the stimulus for that is getting my heart rate up and doing some cardiorespiratory kind of endurance work. So maybe rowing is a good swap there, right? But
exactly.
Rowing isn't a good swap all the time just because I can row, just like, you know, a squat isn't always a good swap if just because you're doing something lower body.
Exactly. And you nailed it with the stimulus, right? Like, what is the purpose of the workout? And once you can understand the purpose of the workout, you can better customize it, better scale it.
And one of the things, and then we'll get into like, well, how do you find a good trainer? Because I know a lot of people are like, tell me how to find a good trainer. I've been working on that forever. When we were doing one of our webinars together a couple weeks ago, somebody was saying like, I can't press overhead. And you were saying, that's okay, because there's tons of different planes in which we can press, right? So you might think of shoulder press overhead, but a bench press out sort of in front of your body is also a press, or like a tricep pushdown is also a press going down from, you know, your chest line. So learning, okay, this is a pressing movement and I can't press in this plane without pain. So what's another press that I can do is very different from like, oh, it's an upper body movement. Let me think of another upper body movement. We want to build that skill of scaling, which is understanding not only the type of movement, but the intended stimulus. And once you get it, you've got it. And then it's a great thing if you want to buy somebody else's online program, or you want to do your own thing at the gym. Now you have a skill that nobody can take away from you that makes you able to customize for yourself.
Exactly. We are teaching you how to fish with this course. We are going to do some fishing together, but mostly we're trying to teach you how to do it so that you can go on and be extremely confident in whatever you choose to do after.
Yeah. If I pay for a trainer, and you and I don't live near each other, we're both on the East Coast, kind of on opposite ends of the East Coast. I have a trainer here in my town that I pay. When my trainer is on her phone during our workout, it really pisses me off.
Oh my gosh. I hate that. I hate it. Oh no.
I hate it when they say, oh, I'm using my phone as a timer. No, like there's other ways to time, and you don't have to be on your phone, because then what happens is she has her phone in her hand the whole time. And you know, the text come through and you see the text and you respond to it real quick. And like, yep. A trainer should not be on their phone, but that's like the least of it, right? That's me being nitpicky. Although I don't know. I don't think that's very nitpicky.
No, I would agree with you. That is a good rule.
Yeah. So the other day I'm texting with my girlfriend and she's telling me, hey, I signed up for Strong Foundations. Like, I'm so pumped. She was telling me that she's been working with a trainer and she doesn't feel like this trainer really understands the phase of life that she's in. You know, she's a little bit older than me. And this is what he said to her. He told her that she should get motivated by looking at herself naked in the mirror and getting really disgusted by what she sees. Like, Morgan, I can't even.
No, when you said that to me, I started to sweat through my shirt. I got so about here. I was so upset that I heard that.
Yeah. Like, but I think that's a really common experience, unfortunately. And I don't think that it's a male female thing, right? This is a female friend of mine and a male trainer. I think that this is just a massive gap in knowing how to work with people.
Yes.
And there's like, when you're looking for a trainer, yep, you want them to be really skilled in movement and you want them to really understand how to reach your goals, how to help you do that, how to help you move well. But we have to start with just the people part of it, which is not easy. But when if you were trying to give advice to folks on how to find a great trainer, without even, we'll get to the physicality piece of it, but what about the people part?
Yeah, I'm going to steal with how we used to hire at my old job at CF&E. We would say, is this a person that I would want to go on a 4-hour road trip with, right? Because your trainer, you're going to spend a lot of time with them. Is it someone you want to hang out with? And that's like the very bare minimum of, is this someone I can trust and be vulnerable with and have a good time with? Because the better time you have, the more consistent you'll be. You won't dread it as much. So is it someone that you want to hang out with? And that's really important. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's to get you in the door.
Right.
From there. That's like, am I even going to initiate a conversation with this person?
Right.
From there, what really, really matters, the ultimate thing is, does this trainer operate with empathy? Are they an empathetic person who can meet me where I'm at, understand where I'm trying to go, understand what is going to get me there, and guide me through it? If you have a trainer who can be empathetic, they can work with anybody in any situation and help them achieve a better outcome.
So let's work through a real example there, because I think, you know, we've all had a job where, oh, I would say a lot of us have probably had jobs where it's easy to judge people.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, it's another person who didn't read the email, you know, or like, it's another person who thinks that like, they're going to come in and be fit after a week, or, you know, it's another person who thinks that they know exactly how to do everything and they're the expert, even though they're not the expert. And I think that that is very human.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as a client, trusting somebody to help you with your health and your fitness, the customer should not feel that. Even if somebody has a natural sort of inclination to make an initial judgment about somebody, whether it's their weight or their fitness level or what they know or don't know or how they move, I'm sure it's just a human reaction as a trainer to come in and make some initial, draw some initial conclusions. But let's say that, you know, you have a client who comes in and maybe she's 30 pounds overweight. She's clearly never worked with a barbell before. She has a million questions and you've not ever been in that situation, right? You've not ever been a middle-aged woman and you probably have been working with a barbell for as long as you can remember. What does it look like as customers, as potential clients, what should we be looking for to know whether or not somebody has empathy or, you know, is an empathetic coach?
Yeah. They should be pumped that you are there. Mm-hmm. The fact that you had the courage to walk in the door, like you realize there's a problem you're trying to fix, you're trying to make your life better, and you had the courage to take action on that, that alone should be celebrated. So there should be an ethos of excitement that you're there, whether it's the coaches or trainers 10th client of the day or the first client of the day. If it's 5 a.m., doesn't matter. You're there. That is awesome. Should be celebrated. And a good trainer is going to ask you a million questions. Okay. If they are truly interested in learning more about you and meeting you where you're at and understanding your goals, a ton of questions are going to get thrown back and forth. I answer most of my clients' questions with like three or four questions. They're bummed. They ask me questions like, oh my gosh, I have so many more questions coming right back at me. Mm-hmm. Questions are huge. If you think about a drill sergeant, right? Someone who is not empathetic, drill sergeants don't care. You show up, you get out of the bus at boot camp, drop and give me 20, right? You're doing yep. what the drill sergeant wants to do.
Yeah.
A good trainer is going to ask about a lot of things fitness related and not.
Mm. You know, I love that you brought up the enthusiasm piece, because I've had a lot of trainers where it feels like I'm like inconveniencing them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It feels yes. like they just have to do this again. And here we go again. And they're tired and they've been at the gym since XYZ time. And you just never want to feel that from your trainer. And that really does not give any sort of indication that they care about you and your journey at all.
Exactly. Your time in the gym is workouts are tough, right? Like we should be doing what we can to enjoy your time in the gym. Hopefully it's the best hour of your day or best time of your day.
Yeah.
You're doing something to take care of yourself. And who cares if that trainer has 10 people in that day? It's important for coaches to understand that for your client, it's their 1 hour of the day in the gym and hopefully their best hour. And that needs to be supported as such.
You said that they'll ask you a lot of questions. Can you give me an example? Like, let's say that I showed up to work out with you and we didn't have a history together, or even if we did, like what are some of the questions that you would ask me in starting an initial relationship as trainer client?
Yeah, there's the simple basic stuff like surface level, like how did you hear about us? What have you done in the past? What are your goals? Like, what are you trying to achieve with me? And then there should be deeper questions, kind of like, why do you want to achieve those goals? Oh, you're telling me you want to lose 10 pounds. Okay, but why do you want that to happen?
Yeah.
And hopefully that conversation turns into like, oh, well, I have my second grandkid on the way and I didn't get to hang out with the first one as much as I wanted to. I really want to get on the floor and play with them now. It's like, okay, that's a huge understanding now. Yeah. And I'm going to be able to better guide you in that with that understanding. So yeah. questions about injuries, about other experiences, good experiences, bad experiences, questions about things outside the gym, like what does your family do? What do you do for work? All that kind of stuff. Very much first date vibes. And because you are building a relationship with this person, the more trust and vulnerability you can have with your trainer and vice versa, they should be vulnerable with you.
Yep.
The deeper the relationship, the so much stronger and more effective the training is going to be.
So I've worked out in settings before, sort of like Globo gym settings where I've had a trainer and there's a lot of like my trainer talking to another trainer that's their buddy and they're like carrying on a conversation about what they did yesterday or the last client that they had. And it always stands out. First of all, it pisses me off.
Yep.
But one of the things working out with you at CFNE, like you and the other coaches there were very, very close. You were like a family. But when you were coaching, you were coaching. You were not having a conversation with Dan or Tori or Ben or any, like you were coaching and you were focused on your clients. And I cannot think of a single situation. Like, first of all, your phone wasn't even on you.
Nope.
And I don't even think it was like in your pocket. I don't think because just the temptation of having it there, I just don't remember it ever being on you or any of the other coaches. This wasn't just like a Morgan is the leader of the band. Like that was just the way the trainers were there. Was that something that was like, did you guys talk about that? Like, hey, don't talk to the other coaches because the other coaches coming in were your buddies. Like were you guys taught to just focus or did you just know that? Because I see trainers behaving so differently. Like somebody from another class comes in and they're having a conversation because that person's their friend. And maybe they're going to a get together together, like so much socialization outside of the client or the class. Is that something you just know? Or is that something you were taught as part of being an excellent coach and trainer?
Yes, it was heavily taught. Big part of our onboarding was the connection made or the comparison made with Bill Belichick, the coach of the Patriots. Mm-hmm. We would always say like, could you imagine if Bill Belichick's phone rang like in the middle of a game and they panned to the sideline. He's like on the phone being like, oh no, I'll call you right back. Like, sorry, I just got to coach this football thing. Like, could you, or like he's walking around eating lunch while a game, like that would never happen.
Right. Right.
He's a professional. He is a professional. He cares about what he's doing. He operates as such. And that is how we all the trainers at my old job were trained to be professionals. The clients there, like we said, it's their 1 hour, their 1 hour for themselves to have a good time.
Yeah.
And being professional is going to help support that. And it's very obvious that the smallest conversation with a buddy, right? One set or like a fist bump because we are going to hang out later. That totally detracts from the experience of the client.
It really does. It really does. And it makes it feel like you're not part of something. Yeah, I know that sounds so silly. Like I'm saying that as a 40-year-old woman, but it's kind of like I'm in the way of something or like I'm getting in the way of them having a conversation or like they have the relationship and I'm just a job. But the way that it felt with you, and I've had one other trainer that like I felt very much this way, that you wanted to be spending that time with us, with our class.
Yeah.
You didn't want to be anywhere else. And I'm sure that there were probably times when you did want to be someplace else. We never felt that. And that is something that I'm so sensitive to now. If I feel like a trainer is giving me the vibe that they want to be somewhere other than working with me, I don't want to give you my money.
Yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't feel good. And it's such a vulnerable thing to do, to come into a gym. Now, obviously, when you do it for long enough, it doesn't have that same level of vulnerability. But if you're starting working with somebody new, like that is a very vulnerable position. And it should be, it goes back to what you said about being empathetic. Like there's a respect for that.
Totally. And part of that empathy is asking the athletes why, but it's not wrong for the athlete or the client to ask the trainers why.
Yeah.
I unfortunately know of a lot of trainers who are doing what they're doing because they like to work out. They want to spend all day in the gym. They like wearing the athleisure wear. Yeah. And I guess I'll get a job here. That way I don't have to leave for work and come back. And I get to be sweaty and wear workout clothes while I work. Like,
right.
Might as well be a trainer. And that kind of person is not going to act as professional as someone who has a why of, I want to be here and help these people and change their lives and make them better.
Okay, here's a question I have about the movement side of things.
Yeah.
I have had some trainers who give a lot of verbal feedback, and they regularly say things like, hey, I think you actually need to go a little bit lighter. I want to see some changes in your form here that it looks like you're losing some of the quality of your movement because it's too heavy. Or I've had trainers who have said, I think you need to add more weight. I've had trainers like you who have said, you know what, I don't think you should do the run. I want your heart rate to be a little higher, and you might have to kind of jog at a pace. We're not going to get that stimulus, so I think it would be better for you to row or for you to bike. But also, you've said to me, hey, I actually think you do need to run today. I think that you do need to go after that and not worry about keeping up with the class or, you know, doing something you don't like to do. What kind of feedback should we expect to hear from a really great coach? Because I've had other trainers who really don't say much at all other than, good job, nice workout today. Is that your third set? What kind of guidance can you give to us on this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And if you don't know, yeah, right, you don't know what the good cues are, how can you tell if someone's giving you good cues or not? What a great question. What are their intentions? Are they trying to just get you through the end of the workout? And it's like, okay, that's 45 minutes. That's our time. I'll see you next time. I'll bill you on the way out. Or are they trying to facilitate your best workout? And that's what they should be doing, is facilitating your best workout. And that should be having you test movements, making sure you feel comfortable with them, adjusting you as you're moving, asking you questions. How does that weight feel? If I had you do 10 more, do you think you can do it? That kind of stuff. Are they eager in finding what's going to give you your best workout? Or are they just trying to kind of get you through and get on and go hang out with their buddies who they were talking to earlier?
Yeah, I think it's a red flag if they're just saying, okay, you're going to do 3 sets of this and you're going to do 10 reps in every set. And I think especially for a beginner, you should expect a lot of correction.
Yeah, it'd be weird if you weren't getting a lot of corrections. Something that some coaches don't do, and I'm upset they don't do this, is if it's not a correction, it should be an acknowledgement, and you should be told you're doing a good job of that.
So let me ask you, in terms of cues that you could expect, I gave you an example because the one that just came up the other day for me was like what I was looking at while I was doing a particular seated exercise, and changing what I was looking at changed the feeling altogether. Like the alignment of my spine when I made the adjustment changed the feeling of the workout. So with that as one example, can you give some examples of other types of cues, not like specifically, but like tight body part kinds of things that you should, if you're a beginner, expect to hear some coaching on?
Absolutely. Things like range of motion. Are you going as far as you should be and returning back to the right spot? And it could be corrections, but I would also like to hear encouragement for doing the right thing.
A really, really good point. Yeah. You want to hear if you're doing something right.
Yes. If there's nothing, that's a problem. And some coaches do that. Some coaches will say nothing or just a correction. Yep. And I think it's a much better experience for everybody. If something I'll do is I'll always be looking at the areas that might be an issue. And if I don't see an issue, I'll say, hey, good job keeping your knees, good job keeping your heels down. But types of cues are range of motion, major body parts, right? So if you're doing a lower body movement, are they talking about your heels, your knees, your hips, your toe, which way your feet are pointing, your toes? If you're doing upper body movement, are they talking about your back, your spine, your abs, your torso, where your elbows are, where your chin is pointed, where your eyes are, was a great one. There should be frequent discussion of the body parts involved, the body parts that are bracing it, the range of motion, and the number and quality of the reps.
I love that. I love that so much. Okay. Obviously, trainers should be very skilled in movement. The thing is, a lot of people are going for goals that also have a big component in nutrition. Yeah. Should we have any kind of expectation? I guess as I'm asking the question, I'm thinking it depends on what you're looking for, right? Because I was going to ask you, like, should we have an expectation that our trainer should know something about nutrition? Or, you know, does that depend on what you're looking for? Some people might be looking for something that has that component. Other people might not care so much. But the reason I'm bringing this up, I had a moment with a trainer of mine that made me want to pull my hair out when knowing that I was working towards losing some baby weight, some weight that I'd put on in a recent pregnancy. She told me to just count calories and that quality didn't matter and that I could eat anything. It really is a misnomer that it matters what I eat. I just needed to stay under a certain amount of calories. And I was so pissed because I felt like not only was it stupid advice, I felt like it was dangerous advice. Like I felt like that kind of went along a line of if somebody took that and ran with it, like that could really harm their health. And I guess I wanted your opinion on, is this something we should look for in a trainer? I know for us in Strong Foundations, we're incorporating this as a component of it and really want to teach people about the interplay here, because you can certainly get more out of your workouts when nutrition is a factor. But is it an unrealistic expectation that our trainer should have a knowledge base around nutrition?
Yeah, not unrealistic whatsoever. Definitely, it might be depending upon what you're looking for. If you're seeking out a specialist in the workouts, the physicality, they might not be a specialist in nutrition, but they should definitely know their way around it. It'd be like if you went to a mechanic to fix your engine, they're like, oh, I don't know anything about tires, right? They'd be like, that's kind of weird. Like they're very similarly related.
Yeah,
it's too similar of a topic to not be well-versed. And like you experienced, that advice is dangerous and actually detrimental to what she's trying to help you do with the workouts.
Right.
So they should be at least able to support their efforts in the gym with you with nutrition, if not be able to further those efforts with nutrition.
So we have put together Strong Foundations because there's just I don't know about you, but I was blown away by the response when we shared what we were doing with Strong Foundations and providing three different tiers of strength training workouts with several workouts a week and the live coaching and the movement tutorials, the nutrition component. The response was absolutely unbelievable. And we do still have spots available if you want to join. So I'll put that link in the show description for folks. And the price point is downright silly, if you ask me. I mean, we could probably, you know, easily 5x the price and still have it be well worth it. But let's say that for some reason, you know, maybe somebody's listening to this in a year or two and Strong Foundations isn't an option for them at that point. If I said to you, or they said to you, Morgan, I need to find a personal trainer. Give me some advice on what to look for. If you had to synthesize it, summarize it to say, look for these things, ask these questions, go about it in this way, what would you say?
Ooh, this is a challenge because I love giving long answers. So I'm gonna try to keep it a short answer, but I do love long answers. I would say, first off, the actual workouts that you are doing. Is it something you are going to enjoy? Like, what does that trainer offer? Is it something you enjoy? Does it at least touch on the three buckets of cardio, strength training, and body weight movement? Like, are those three examples available through their training? Mm-hmm. Next is frequency and price points. Mm-hmm. Are they available to meet with you enough or give you guidance on the times they're not meeting with you? Is it going to require you to take out a loan to work with them, or can you do so appropriately with given your budget? And then those are very much the X's and O's. And then the big stuff is what we talked about. Are they an empathetic person who's excited to see you, who seems like a professional?
Yeah. If you were my friend whose trainer said, hey, look in the mirror, get grossed out by what you see, and that'll be your motivation, well, do you think that that's a fire your trainer worthy?
Absolutely. That's it is clear that they don't understand where your friend is starting at. Yeah. They don't understand what's going to move the needle for your friend. They're well aware of the endpoint, right? Your friend and that trainer are chasing the same endpoint, but they're starting different places and they're using different tactics to get there. And that's enough of a gap where she could probably be way more successful with someone who can connect with her a little better.
You know what's funny? I was just thinking to myself, I almost asked you, how do you motivate or assist in motivating your clients, like to keep them coming back? But then I was like, what was it when I was working out with you regularly that made me want to keep working out with you? And it was really, really simple. You made me feel like I mattered to you. And that goes such a long way. And I'll go far as to say, I don't think you made me feel that way as like some manipulative tactic. I think you really wanted me to be there, and you really wanted Sarah to be there, and you really wanted everybody to be like, that was genuine. And that goes a really, really, really long way.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Yes. And that's the truth is, like, the reason I get up in the morning and put my pants on is because I want to come and help people move more and move better and celebrate their abilities. And by you showing up and by Sarah showing up, I get to do the thing that I woke up and wanted to do. So I'm pumped, and I'm pumped that you're there. And that's part of the excitement. And a similar feeling should exude from the person who you're trying to train with.
Yeah.
And if that person's there just to get a paycheck to pay for going out to the bars that night, that's going to feel a different way as well too.
Yeah.
And you might not have that enjoyment or excitement.
Okay. Here's my last question for you. I'm very, very excited about Strong Foundations for a number of reasons. And selfishly, my mom is part of it. My sister is part of it. My sister's girlfriend is part of it. And my aunt, we're getting her to do it. She hasn't signed up yet, but by God, she will. And so I'm really, really excited to have that with them. So for you, I just am dying to know, what are you most excited about with Strong Foundations?
So I am excited. I got goosebumps thinking about it. I am excited about the like week three, week four, where very gradually the people in the course have completely changed who they are and are without even maybe realizing it. They're now super confident in what they're doing in the gym.
Yeah.
They now feel a little better. Their bodies respond a little bit differently. The soreness that is going to happen when you start out, the soreness has surpassed a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it'll happen so gradually. It might not be obvious, but when we take stock of it all, yeah, I'm excited for people to realize, like, I'm a total badass. This is awesome.
You know, I lied. I'm going to have one more question because what you said made me think of it. What do you think people should expect for week one? Because I know, you know, for me as the facilitator side of things, and you'll get to experience this in a different setting. I'm sure you experience it every time you onboard one of your clients in your own programming. But I know that the first week there's like a lot of questions and a lot of uncertainty and from logistical things, like where do I find this to where do I find that to like, I don't know what this means, or can you show me an example? Or, you know, there's just a lot of like that nervous energy. But from the training side of things, can you tell folks what they should expect kind of in that first week, so that any nerves or people who are on the fence, maybe we can just kind of ease them in a little bit by telling them what to expect?
Yeah, absolutely. And first I want to start out with managing the expectations.
Yeah.
And my neighbors are about to have their first kid, and it's super exciting, like any day now. And they said the most beautiful thing yesterday. They said, we understand that we're not going to know everything when we bring our baby home from the hospital. We understand we have no idea, but we understand that we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, like just the way they phrase it of, they know there's a gap in what they know, but they know they're going to close that gap, and they know they're going to love and care for this baby, and it's going to be great. They're just going to have to figure it out a little bit along the way.
Yeah.
I would like to bring that same energy and same expectations to this course where day one, you are going to be a deer in headlights, and that's okay because this is something new. Like, it's a good thing actually. Like, you should feel that feeling of fear and be like, oh, cool, I'm doing something new.
Yeah.
This is exciting. I know I can figure it out.
Yeah.
So as long as you have those expectations, you're going to be great. You're going to be set. What to expect actually for the training. There are four workouts available for week one. There's also a nice guided stretching session at the end of the week. It is starts out very simple, fully guided whiteboard brief, workout, and movement demos. It is meant to be an easy start. Don't be surprised if you finish day one, you're kind of like, oh, that wasn't so bad. I can handle this, right?
Yeah.
And it will absolutely ramp up as we go. But week one is a confidence boosting, educational experience, first little step in the direction of getting stronger.
I love that. And I also want to say that we will be available for questions. Not only are we going live once a week to kind of as a group, get on the same page, answer any questions, but there'll also be a sort of community forum where you can pop in questions and Morgan and I will keep our eyes on that and help. It's not like, this is not something where we're just going to send you a PDF and be like, have fun. We're going to be very involved in this with you. So I think it's important to just sort of put that out there because it can be, even though it's on the scheme of like affordable, not affordable, very affordable, less than $200. It's still nerve-wracking to do something new. And I think when you experience those nerves, the nerves of like, ooh, it's starting. How is it going to go? Or those nerves of, I want to do this, but I'm nervous. Should I pull the trigger? Should I not? That feeling is a reflection of where you are, not a reflection of who you are.
Ooh, right? Yeah.
It points at the fact that, like Morgan said, this is new and new things are uncertain, but it's not in any way a reflection of you can't do it or you shouldn't do it. It is a reflection of where you are on the edge of something new, on the edge of change, not a reflection of who you are. And I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind and distinguish between.
Love that. Absolutely. If it scares you and excites you, you should do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree.
That's
all right,
awesome.
Morgan, thank you so much for talking through this. I think there are a lot of people listening who are like, okay, so my trainer sucks.
Yeah, I'm sorry for any of the issues this might've caused.
But no, it's such a good thing. Cause like I said, the upside of having had a couple really exceptional trainers is that you know real fast when you've got one that is not exceptional. And that can be tricky to work through because it's hard to find people who are excellent. And I'm forever grateful for, you know, having stumbled into you and gotten the experience of being trained by you. And I'm just so pumped to be continuing that with Strong Foundations. So y'all check out the link in the show description. If you have questions about it, message me. I'm super responsive, especially on Instagram. You can just DM me there if you have any questions. primalpotential.com/strongfoundation. I'll also link it up in the show notes. Morgan, super pumped. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.